evening, everyone, and welcome to the Borgo regular meeting of the Board of Education for Monday, January 8th, 2018. Mrs. Schwartz, will you take the roll call, please?
Mrs. Gregory?
Here.
Mr.
Gaffney? Here.
Mrs. Linkemark? Here. Mr. Mannheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Ms. Weibel?
Here.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes, here. Quorum is here. Tonight, we have the pleasure of having Scout Troop 113 present the colors. So would you all rise and join me with the Cub Scouts?
Color guard attention. Color guard forward march. Color guard halt. Color guard holds the colors of the United States of America. Color guard holds the colors of the state of Illinois. Color guard holds the colors of Pack 113. Scouts live.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Two. Scouts
salute.
Peace to the flag of the United States of
Thank you very much, boys. It's always best when we can have Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts present the colors at our meeting. So thank you and your parents very much for coming out tonight. So today is our first meeting of 2018. There's been a little bit of excitement recently, but we're all happy that we're here, back here, healthy and ready for the rest of the year. Thank you all for coming tonight. We have a short meeting of business. But most exciting is that we have student presentations today, because whenever we go to a school, we like to hear what's going on in that school. So I would like to introduce Principal Blaskowitz, and she will tell us what Lincoln is working on.
Good evening. Welcome to Lincoln. We're excited to have everybody here. I'm excited to have our students here to help us out with the pledge. Thank you, boys. And some of our first grade students here to share some of the hard work they've been doing over the past few months. Today we're going to tell you just a little bit about our writing structures across Lincoln. So to just give you a picture of what writing instruction looks like and how we support students with differentiation. And then we will have some students pull up next to you and share some of their published pieces that they've worked on. All right, so as soon as we just have a few quick slides. So over the past 3 years, Lincoln has been working on what's called a workshop model for instruction. And what the workshop does is gives time for some short instruction for all students, and then allows them to work independently while then being able to sit side by side with the teacher for differentiated instruction, work in small groups for differentiated instruction, and then come back together to share. So workshop structures used within literacy instruction, both in reading and in writing. So this just kind of gives you a quick picture as to what that looks like. So a 10-minute mini lesson that's very focused based on what teachers are seeing students do in their writing. So it's very targeted. Then about 25 to 30 minutes of time for kids to apply that learning. giving the teacher time to, again, pull up side by side for one-on-one conferences to be responsive to what individual students are doing, and teaching small groups where they're seeing some needs across the classroom. Then coming back to do a quick share of specific things the teacher noticed during that time, or giving students an opportunity to turn and talk with peers about what they've been working on. So I'm going to hand this over to our first grade teachers, Mrs. Jen Harmon and Mrs. Katie Boone, and they'll tell you a little more, and then we'll get some students with you.
So as Mrs. Bleskovitz said, the workshop model is used in both reading and writing instruction. And one of the beautiful things about reading and writing workshop is that it's naturally differentiated for students. That mini lesson is standards-based, super focused, and then students are able to apply that lesson into their writing at their level. And so we'll see students approximating a skill, and then they'll practice, and you'll see growth with that particular skill. In both reading and writing workshop, teachers will focus on different genres throughout our units of study and throughout the school year. So students are reading widely, they are writing widely and across genres. And then one of the exciting things about writing is the publishing party. And that's where students have an opportunity to share their writing with an authentic audience. So just recently, we invited families to come in, and so students got to share their writing with parents and grandparents and younger and older siblings here at Lincoln. So it's a really wonderful way for our writers to celebrate their hard work, to show off everything they can do as a writer, and then we love having families come in so that they can see what's happening in the classroom.
Some of the things you'll notice tonight in the writing that's being shared with you is that it is definitely a work in progress. This is not perfect writing, but it's perfect for right now, where they are as writers and who they are as writers. It's a product of writing that has gone through a writing process that's been revised and edited with teacher support, but is not something that we've corrected everything with, because that's not appropriate for them as writers. It's something we've corrected things where they're appropriate for who they are as a writer. This writing is often inspired by mentor texts that we've studied and looked at the different writing moves writers have used in their writing and then applied it in our writing. You'll also notice that the writing you see tonight is definitely reflective of the range of abilities across the grade level. And it also will show you that the workshop model allows for student choice, as their writing is all very different topics that they've written about, different stories that they've told, but then also you're seeing them apply many of the same skills that they've learned in our mini lessons. So we hope you enjoy the writing you get to see tonight.
All right, so I'm going to introduce our students, and then we'll partner you up. We might have two board members with a couple of students, but we have Miss Emily Moline here to share her writing, Miss Antonia Christopher, Mr. Donovan Miller, Miss Isabel Laha, Miss Lily Daniluk, and Miss Victoria Charvenier. So they have come tonight to share their writing. They're super excited. I said, I know you'd rather be at home, and they were like, nope. They were excited to be here, so I hope you enjoy. I'll just have them kind of pull up a chair next to you. We might need to spread out a little. I'd like you to see at least two different students, so we'll go 4 or 5 minutes per student and then switch and then get started with the rest of the meeting. So, all right. I hope you each enjoyed the stories that you got to listen to. I want to thank our students. One of the things we work on at Lincoln School is focusing on being self-directed learners. Being a risk taker is one of those self-directed learning traits. And these students took a big risk to sit down next to some adults that they had never met before to read their stories. So I want to give them a little hand and tell them thank you. So you got a tiny piece of what every day is like for me. Being in this building and with students brings me joy every single day. It makes my heart happy. I know the teachers feel the same way. This is just a wonderful place to be, and I'm so glad that our students got to share a little bit of that with you. So thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, hold on. Thank you very much. And it brings us joy to come to the schools. So we, every other month, come to a school. So whether it's a high school AP discussion or first grade, it's really a joy. And we get to see what's going on. Does anybody on the board want to ask anything of Mrs. Blaskowitz or have any comments on what you just heard? No? I think we all enjoyed it very much. Thank you. Okay. It is really impressive to have, you're right, have a child come up and be able to do that in front of what would be considered a big group to them, I'm sure. So that was very impressive. Isabel and Donovan did a great job of explaining to the superintendent and myself what they had. It was terrific. Thank you very much. I had just one question for you, actually. I was wondering, the model that you showed us with 10 minutes and then 40 or 20 minutes of sharing time, is that the same model and the same pie chart throughout the grade levels, or does it change as the students get older?
No, the workshop model is actually, it's been around for a while. There's a couple different versions from some different experts in the area, Lucy Calkins, Katie Woodray, but typically it is that same framework. So very short, targeted mini lesson at the beginning where the teacher is modeling very explicitly what students can put into practice into their own writing. Then there are structures, even within that 10 minutes, there are some very tight structures about sharing that information with students and then sending them off with a task, if you will. As writers, as you go off to do your work today, I want you to remember to whatever it was that they focused on. Students go back and practice that on their own. Again, with teacher checking in, having those mini conferences, and within those conferences, the teacher is also then giving them feedback about what they're doing well and about what they might want to focus on moving forward. Often the teacher will stop midway through that 25-minute chunk of instruction, especially if the teacher's noticing something. So I'm noticing teachers are forgetting to use quotation marks when they're writing dialogue. So the teacher might stop and say that. Or I'm noticing that students are really paying attention to using clear word choice so that the reader can picture what it is that they're trying to describe. So they might stop and share some examples of that to inspire other students to, again, that mentor text idea. So not just mentor texts from authors that are published, but also mentor texts in other students' writing. So, and then coming back together in the end, very purposeful. It's not just random sharing, but very purposefully sharing what the teachers noticed or asking students to share with each other a specific portion of what they wrote or how they applied what they learned that day. So it's, while it seems like it's kind of loose, it's actually pretty targeted.
I think for myself and maybe other board members, I would have probably loved, you know, a situation like that where the teacher checked in and you worked, but we were in the 30 kids in a classroom sitting there and you better not be sharing anything. So,
yeah. And you were told what to write. You were given a topic and told to write an essay or a story about a topic. And this is very, a lot of choice involved for students, which is motivating for them. Yeah.
Actually, I had a quick question. How long has a program been in place?
This structure, the school has worked on for about 3 years. So it was before I came here. Mm-hmm. So we just kept the ball rolling once I came. So about 3 years ago, about 3 years ago, they started really using the workshop framework within writing. And then over the past few years, it's transferred into reading too. It's a structure that can be used in any subject area. And again, what it does is it takes away all that teacher talk and puts more of that learning and ownership onto the students. And again, so they're getting more frequent feedback and they're much more engaged in what they're doing.
Have they been able to track at all a marked improvement in the kids that have been in the workshop in the last 3 years in their writing skills, or is it too early yet to kind of?
We started last year using their writing progressions to take a look at what students were doing within their writing and track the progress they were making. What we don't have is so much of the data before we started, so there's no comparison really, but I mean, the growth that we've seen in students and the ownership that they've taken on and the way they view themselves as authors, You know, it's really incredible to talk with kids about their writing and hear what they have to say.
That's great. So. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know what I would ask, and this is the workshop methodology is the same that's used throughout all the elementaries in the school district, or?
Most of our elementary buildings are using workshop model in some capacity, yes. Mm-hmm. Most frequently in writing. But there are some buildings that they're using reading and writing, and there are teachers who have kind of played around with that in math also. Obviously, some of that shifted this year. Math's a little harder to do because it's hard to do a mini lesson in math, but, you know, it's a structure that could be used, again, in any subject area.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, thank you, everyone, for coming, and we do have a short meeting to follow, and you're welcome to stay. But if you feel like it's time to get going, don't feel badly that you're leaving in the middle of the meeting.
Bath
so
time
once again,
time,
thank you,
right?
Parents, for bringing your students. Thank you, students. We had a great time.
Thank you.
So thank you. The next item on the agenda is citizen comments. Mrs. Linkemer, would you read the statement?
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you very much. We have one speaker today, is Misty Lee, and she's speaking on dissection in the classroom. Ms. Lee? Welcome to the meeting.
Hello. Good evening, President and honored board members. My name is Misty Lee. I'm a local who attended high school in the area here. I attended college at Aurora University, studying sociology with a minor in psych and some classes in biology as well. As an animal and biology lover, I wanted to bring up some concerns I have regarding dissection in the classroom with this district. I'm here today on behalf of PETA's 6.5 million members and supporters regarding the troubling video showing workers at one of your vendors, Bio Corporation, drowning pigeons, injecting live crayfish with latex, and discussing other shocking acts that are seemingly business as usual in the dissection supply industry. At BioCorporation, pigeons arrived alive and tightly packed into plastic crates. Workers submerged the crates in tubs of water, drowning the birds. The American Veterinary Medical Association deems death by drowning inhumane and unacceptable. A veterinarian who watched PETA's footage commented that drowning would cause the pigeons prolonged pain and distress for as long as 10 minutes. The birds would panic, hyperventilate, and struggle to keep their heads above water. They would then turn their breath until they couldn't any longer, and at that point, their lungs would fill with water, leading to vomiting, painful spasms of the airways, and finally, loss of consciousness, cardiac arrests, and death. Turtles were also shipped frozen to BioCorporation, but workers, including a supervisor, said that these animals sometimes come back to life. Staff said that the fully conscious turtles were then put back into a freezer. Dissection suppliers like BioCorporation continue these hideous practices because schools continue to purchase animals for dissection, even though modern and humane alternatives exist and are increasingly being adopted. There's no educational value to making students cut into animals' corpses, but the many benefits of humane, non-animal instruction, such as digital dissection, are well documented. Dozens of peer-reviewed studies show that dissecting animals is bad science, whereas when students use modern methods, they learn faster and are able to repeat material until they're proficient. Studies also show that students prefer using humane alternatives such as interactive simulations and anatomical models. Dissecting animals has been shown to dissuade some students, especially females, from entering science-related fields, and some students are uncomfortable speaking up because of fears of potential exclusion from peers or teachers. A growing majority of young people are opposed to animal experimentation and dissection in educational settings. The act of cutting open an animal, a misguided but often sanctioned classroom activity, teaches children that living beings are disposable and downplays the fact that they were once alive and, as we saw at BioCorporation, often killed exclusively for these exercises. This is a very dangerous lesson, especially with the increase in incidents of cruelty to animals perpetrated by juveniles and an epidemic of school bullying. All U.S. medical schools have ended animal dissection activities, so clearly there is no reason for middle or high school students to dissect animals. We hope that the board chooses to support humane science education by replacing animal dissection with computer-based learning tools that are superior and humane. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lee. That concludes citizen comments for today. The next item is the superintendent's report. Dr. Pearson?
Good evening. I just want to echo Ms. Huell's comment to Ms. Blaskowitz and thank her for hosting us tonight at Lincoln Elementary School. It's always great to be in this building. There's so much history here, and it's just got such a great community feel to it, and we appreciate you putting this together and for hosting us tonight. Thank you so much. Just a couple of quick updates. As you know, we had a flood last night at Belgram Elementary School that impacted 13 of our classrooms and several other of our instructional spaces, and I just wanted to publicly thank both Mr. Baird as well as GSF for their work through the night and through the day today to get that building back in tip-top shape. It's beautiful. The water is up. They've been able to repair the leak. The pipe has been repaired. The fire suppression system has been restored. The air quality has been tested in the building, and we are ready for children to return to school tomorrow. You know, when we have a damage of that magnitude, it's amazing to just see our team come together to support our students and families. And although we did have to cancel school at Belgram today, we are ready to go tomorrow. So thank you, Mr. Baird, for all of your hard work, and to also to our GSF, which is our custodial contracted service. So we're appreciative of their work with that as well. I also wanted to just briefly highlight for you tonight the meetings that are coming up related to elementary boundaries and facility utilization. There is a communication that is going out tonight to family members and community members across the district to highlight that particular discussion coming forward. January the 18th is the first time that you'll have an opportunity to hear the presentation related to the administrative recommendation for facility changes in utilization at the elementary level, and then also for elementary boundaries. So January the 18th at 5:30 p.m. That's the learning and teaching meeting, and that will be held at the Thompson sixth grade center or Thompson building, sixth grade center LRC. And then we have subsequently two community meetings scheduled. January the 22nd, which is a Monday night at 6:30, that one will be at Redling in the LRC. And then the following Monday night, January the 29th at 6:30 in the Thompson LRC. And just to note that there was some confusion about the time, but those meetings, those community meetings, are 6:30 to 8 o'clock on those two dates. And that concludes the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Dr. Pearson. I did have a question. Originally, there was going to be a learning and teaching meeting, and I should have touched base with you, I'm sorry, before. Will there be any material from learning and teaching? Will there be a learning and teaching meeting at all? Or we're just using that slot?
I think we're using that slot.
It is a huge topic. I didn't know if you were trying to, you know, if you would still have some things to fit in before that.
No, I was going to make mention of it. We're going to have another, a bigger meeting in February, well, not bigger, a longer meeting in February. So I can just tell you that in addition to January 18th, that I will see what we're going to discuss with everybody.
Touch your little, there you go.
I forget that. February 20th, we will have learning and teaching, and that is going to start at 5 o'clock, which means it's a kind of a full docket, so.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I hadn't double-checked that, and I wasn't sure. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Pearson.
Yes.
Next item on the agenda are committee reports, and even though it feels like we're very busy, we really did not have any committees meet since our last board meeting on the 11th. Did anyone else have another ancillary meeting? Anything else they can think of? No. I do have one meeting that I did attend, and that was, let me find it. I went to DPTO. And DPTO was a great meeting, and I would like to take a second to point out that The fearless leader of DPTO is Ms. Romano, who's sitting in the back seat, back row today, and has been a great leader for DPTO and is a great resource for our school district. I know I had it right here. I'm sorry. Oh, it's folded. Okay, that's why. Met in December. They talked about, one thing is that one of the PTOs is having the Fox Valley Summer Activities Fair, which has hundreds of people, 400 people came last time. There were 75 agencies, and it's February 5th, 2018. It is free to attend. Actually, I did not write down where it is, but it includes summer activities, everything, all sorts of camps and everything from dance to STEM. It was very well received last year, and they're repeating it this year. Corn wanted to say that they really loved having Ms. Galt and her team come and talk at their PTO meeting, and other PTOs kind of perked up and thought that they would like that also, so I think she'll be busy going to some PTO meetings and talking about curriculum. There was a good discussion of how they keep track of their committee's work and keep everybody in the loop. Once again, very important for them to keep their work going, and it was a good discussion. They talked about separate events that they'll be having. Well, there's St. Baldrick's and Cal's Angels, different foundations that will be having some charitable events, as they often do, or as they usually do lately. We had one of the parents spoke to the group about yoga in the schools and taking a minute for mindfulness, and it's being checked out in some of the schools, or at least one of the schools, and to see if this has a value to our students to have a minute of mindfulness at the start of the day. The group that has this program or is promoting this is called Inner Explorer, and it's innerexplorer.org. So there's a school checking that out, and I would imagine if it has good value that it will extend to other schools if principals and schools determine that it's good for them. In January, on the 15th, there will be a parent university, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Is it Talking to Your Child About Difficult Things? That's the title. Okay. I didn't know if I was just dumbing it down for myself. Okay, so that is on the 15th, and I think that would be a very valuable conversation for parents to have because it's difficult to talk about. And those were all the items that they talked about at their meeting. So once again, DPTO is a great group. I've been going there for, I think, 20 years now, and I always look forward to it. And thank you, Ms. Romano, for what you do. Next item on the agenda is a four-action item. May I have a motion on the approval of change orders for the Norris Recreation Center? Mr. Mannheim and Mr. Gaffney, it looks like Mr. Kaufman, Chapman will be explaining that to us.
Yes, good evening, and I appreciate Mr. Baird allowing me to do this. We're partnering together, but he graciously stepped aside and let me do the presentation. He rarely lets me win. So real quickly, we'll cover the Norris Rec Center, and as you're aware, we've been having conversations at the committee level about this topic for several months. The fire occurred 2 days prior to school starting back in August, and since then, we've been working to try to get the center up and running, and for the most part, it is. On the screen, you can see the pool. We do have the tennis open first, the pool open shortly thereafter at the end of November, and then right around the grand opening ceremony that was held on December 9th, the lobby and the fitness center opened as well. So now what's left is the locker rooms areas, which we're targeting for a mid-March timeframe. At the committee level, we've been discussing some of those costs that are associated with that. You know, although the claim itself through insurance is in excess of over $2 million at this point, our deductible was $2,500. In addition, Mr. Baird had some things in his five-year capital plan, some items that were coming for the rec center in excess of $500,000, including the lockers needing to be replaced, The pool needed to be painted and LED lighting in the pool area. And so this was actually, if there is a silver lining, this was certainly one for the district. As you can see, this slide kind of indicates the budget reallocation. We've talked about this slide at the committee before, and if you look at kind of the top section here, these are credits that were received because we didn't replace all the lockers, at least the same. We lowered some of the lockers to provide a better supervision in some of our areas. And then in the locker room ceilings, those were plaster ceilings, which is very expensive. There's now Duroc product that is more than sufficient in those areas. And that is a lower price, too. So we started kind of with the $78,000 credit, and we've kind of worked our way down, and these are things that have all come really, for the most part, to the committee. And now you can see we're sitting at about $989 to date left on that credit. In your packet is a summary of what's up here on the screen right now in the memo, and these are the additional change order requests that have come through. The majority of these things that you can see up on the list are ADA-related. I did want to clarify that code does not require us to do these things for ADA because they're just replacing fixtures. However, we've got an elevator in the building. If we want those locker rooms to really be truer to ADA, these are things that we're recommending that we do. In addition, you'll see under change order 17 here, new exit doors to pool. I think some of you are aware we've had discussions about separation between the member side and the student side and wanting to better enhance that separation and provide an ability to separate a little bit better and potentially even lock those areas. That's what that one's referring to. And then there are some other areas down here which are upgrading to LED lights and upgrading to PLAM, which is short for plastic laminate. Those are areas where a cost investment now is going to yield savings in the long term. So with the dividers, if we go to a metal, they're not going to last as long. They're going to rust out quicker. With the LED lighting, you're all aware of the fact we've had this conversation before, the efficiency that we can get in those lighting. So grand total, $87,675 is where we're at to date. We certainly hope that there wouldn't be additional change orders or modification of these numbers, but it is construction, and over the next couple months, we might see some tweaks. So that's why the request is for $100,000, not to exceed $100,000. If there are any specific questions on these items, I'm sure myself or Mr. Baird would be able to answer those for you.
So just for myself, I want to make sure, because this is a little bit different than what, just written up differently than what we have in the packet. This okay. is locker rooms for the members, men's and...
It's both. It's every. Both. It's all the locker rooms.
For students and members.
Yes. Yes, correct.
Okay.
Much of it is on the membership side. Not all of it, but much of it is on the membership side.
Mm-hmm. So students, do students have new lockers coming also?
They will get, yes. Everyone's getting new lockers. Yep, correct.
Does anyone else have a question?
I have a question. Is Norris kicking in anything towards this change order specifically or no?
They are not. They've provided funding in some of the other areas, most specifically related to the construction. But in this area, because we are the building owners, unless they specifically have requested a change for themselves, then they are not. We have not had conversations in regards to any of these change orders about a contribution from the rec center.
Anyone? Good. Thank you very much.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Any other conversation? No. Mr. Schwartz, would you take the roll call vote, please?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkomer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Does anyone have anything to be pulled from the consent agenda? No? May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda? Mr. McNally and Ms. Linkomer. Any conversation? None heard. Would you take the vote, please?
Mrs. Linkomer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreave?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is for information for the board, freedom of information requests. Anything about that? Nope. The last piece of business is new business. Does anyone have anything for new business? I just was going to ask Ms. Weibel if you would, you have a meeting coming up on Wednesday, a significant meeting, so if you would just remind the board of the time and the topic.
Just a reminder, we have a community relations meeting on Wednesday, thank you, January 10th at 6 p.m. in the administration building. We will be having a presentation by the Kane County Health Department in regards to their partnership with the district, as well as some communication strategies with the board and administration with the public. So any board members, I encourage you to please attend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, with that finished, may I have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of 1, student discipline, 2, appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity, and thirdly, the placement of individual students in special education programs and other matters relating to individual students. May I have that motion?
So moved.
Mr. McNally, second, and Ms. Linkmer is a second. So we will adjourn to closed session.
Do you need a vote? Do you need a roll call vote?
We have to take a vote. Yes, we have to take a vote. Would you take the vote, please?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmer?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes. Thank you. We vote on everything. I don't know. I didn't think of that. Okay, so board members, we will retire to the
principal's
conference room. And we're hoping
the staff lounge,
which is out that door, not too hard, not too easy to get lost in this building, but kind of hoping that we might just walk over and get to that shortly. We have a few things to discuss there. So thank you all, and thank you all very much for coming. Thank you, teachers. Okay. It is 8:57, and the board is back in session. And Ms. Schwartz, will you take the roll call vote, please? Sorry.
Ms. Weibel?
Here.
Yeah. Mrs. Fairgreath?
Here.
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkmer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mrs. Huell?
Here. Is there a motion?
The school board of St. Charles School District 303 reviewed the hearing report of its appointed hearing officer in closed session in the matter of the discipline of student E171804 pursuant to section 10-22.6 of the Illinois School Code. And on the basis of all testimony and evidence presented at the hearing, the board has determined that student E171804 is guilty of gross misconduct as set forth in the attached written decision, and the board has further determined that student E171804's out-of-school suspension was justified, and the student should be expelled from St. Charles East High School in District 303. Therefore, the school board has determined that student E171804's suspension is upheld, and the student is expelled for the remainder of the 2017-2018 school year and through the end of the first semester of 2018-2019 school year. However, the student's expulsion shall be held in abeyance for so long as the student successfully attends and completes the Safe Schools program or another program selected by the district in lieu of expulsion. Should the student and his parent or guardian elect to attend the Safe Schools program, they need to sign the agreement for attendance at the Safe Schools program in the form previously approved by the Board of Education.
Thank you. May I have a second? A second to the motion? Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Mr. McNally? Anything else to be said? No? Ms. Schwartz, will you take the vote, please?
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
No.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes. The motion carries. Thank you, Mrs. Thank you for the long discussion. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mr. Mr. McNally. And second?
Second.
Mr. Manheim. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No opposition heard. Thank you very much, everyone.